Welcome back to our Divine Office podcast. We have the Office of Readings today. I just wanted to say that for me, these next 2 days leading up to Christmas Vigil on the 24th are exciting times. They're days of great preparation where I try to figure out, somewhat in haste, exactly what I need to do to be prepared to welcome that Lord of Glory that we spoke about in Psalm 24 into my heart more deeply and to live to higher standards this year. But more than that, they're an opportunity for me to be excited and enter into the expectation that the Old Testament, the OT people, had as they lived in the time of darkness, of confusion, of worry, while they waited for their hope. So, obviously, how you do that, I don't know, but that's one of the foundational ideas. That second idea about the Old Testament people is one of the foundational ideas of Advent, that and most of all preparation, like John the Baptist prepared the people for the coming of the Lord. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise for the invitatory. I'm excited. We have some great Divine Office readings in the Office of Readings today. The Lord is close at hand. Come, let us worship him. Psalm 100. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy. The Lord is close at hand. Come, let us worship him. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. The Lord is close at hand. Come, let us worship him. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. The Lord is close at hand. Come, let us worship him. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. The Lord is close at hand. Come, let us worship him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is close at hand. Come, let us worship him. The advent of our King, our prayers must now employ. And now we must hymns of welcome sing in strains of hopeful joy. The everlasting Son, incarnate deigns to be. Himself a servant's form puts on to set his servants free. Daughter of Zion, rise to meet thy lowly King. Nor let thy faithless heart despise the peace he comes to bring. As judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and his true members all unite with him in heaven to reign. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free, with Father's Spirit ever one, through all eternity. Then we begin the psalmody, proper to the Office of Readings, with the antiphon, How Good is the God of Israel to the Pure of Heart. Psalm 73. Why is it that the good have many troubles? Blessed is the man who does not lose faith in me. Matthew 11:16 helps us interpret as we pray. How good God is to Israel, to those who are pure of heart. Yet my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was filled with envy of the proud when I saw how the wicked prosper. For them there are no pains. Their bodies are sleek and sound. They have no share in men's sorrows. They are not stricken like others. So they wear their pride like a necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. Their hearts overflow with malice. Their minds seethe with plots. They scoff, they speak with malice. From on high they plan oppression. They have set their mouths in the heavens, and their tongues dictate to the earth. So the people turn to follow them and drink in all their words. They say, How can God know? Does the Most High take any note? Look at them, such are the wicked, but untroubled they grow in wealth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. How good is the God of Israel to the pure of heart. Antiphon 2, Their laughter will turn to weeping, their merriment to grief. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second part of Psalm 73. How useless to keep my heart pure and wash my hands in innocence, when I was stricken all day long, suffered punishment day after day. Then I said, if I should speak like that, I should abandon the faith of your people. I strove to fathom this problem, too hard for my mind to understand, until I pierced the mysteries of God and understood what becomes of the wicked. How slippery the paths on which you set them. You make them slide to destruction. How suddenly they come to their ruin, wiped out, destroyed by terrors. Like a dream one wakes from, O Lord. When you wake, you dismiss them as phantoms. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Their laughter will turn to weeping, their merriment to grief. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Antiphon 3. Those who depart from you will perish. My joy is to remain with you, my God. The third part of Psalm 73 is our final prayer. And so, when my heart grew embittered, and when I was cut to the quick, I was stupid and did not understand, no better than a beast in your sight. Yet I was always in your presence. You were holding me by my right hand. You will guide me by your counsel, and you will lead me to glory. What else have I in heaven but you? Apart from you, I want nothing on earth. My body and my heart faint for joy. God is my possession forever. All those who abandon you shall perish. You will destroy all who are faithless. To be near God is my happiness. I have made the Lord God my refuge. I will tell of all your works at the gates of the city of Zion. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. It is good to be with you, Father. Purify our eyes and hearts, so that we may see with mind and eye your will and your image in others. To me, this is a very easy psalm to pray from, especially in light of praying on behalf of others, praying for the conversion of the world's leaders. It's very easy to pray from, and that is always something I recommend to you as well. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Those who depart from you will perish. My joy is to remain with you, my God. And then we begin the part of listening to God's word in the lesson from Scripture and tradition, or the lessons, plural, from Scripture and tradition. Let your compassion come upon me, Lord, your salvation true to your promise. First reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51, 1 through 11. Salvation promised to the children of Abraham is the caption that the church has chosen. Listen to me, you who pursue justice, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to the pit from which you were quarried. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who gave you birth. When he was but one, I called him. I blessed him and made him many. Yes, the Lord shall comfort Zion, and have pity on all her ruins. Her deserts he shall make like Eden, her wasteland like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of song. Be attentive to me, my people, my folk, give ear to me. For law shall go forth from my presence, and my judgment as the light of the peoples. I will make my justice come speedily. My salvation shall go forth, and my arm shall judge the nations in brackets. My arm shall judge the nations in brackets. In me shall the coastlands hope, and my arm shall await. Raise your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth below. Though the heavens grow thin like smoke, the earth wears out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. My salvation shall remain forever, and my justice shall never be dismayed. Hear me, you who know justice, you people who have my teaching at heart. Fear not the reproach of men. Be not dismayed at their revilings. They shall be like a garment eaten by moths, like wool consumed by grubs. But my justice shall remain forever, and my salvation for all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the days of old, in ages long ago. Was it not you who crushed Rabid, you who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea into a way for the redeemed to pass over? Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. Responsory prayer. My people, listen to me. Hear me, all you who belong to my race. Close at hand is my just one. My Savior draws near. Now those redeemed by the Lord will come back and enter Zion with songs of praise. Close at hand is my just one. My Savior draws near. And I really like this second reading from the tradition of the church, from a treatise against the heresy of Nestorius, which I believe was against the rigorous heresy that some people could be cast out of the church forever for certain sins, by Saint Hippolytus, priest. The caption the church has chosen is the manifestation of the hidden mystery. There is only one God, brethren, and we learn about him only from sacred scripture. It is therefore our duty to become acquainted with what scripture proclaims and to investigate its teachings thoroughly. We should believe them in the sense that the Father wills, thinking of the Son in the way the Father wills, and accepting the teaching he wills to give us with regard to the Holy Spirit. Holy Scripture is God's gift to us, and it should be understood in the way that he intends. We should not do violence to it by interpreting it according to our own preconceived ideas. God was all alone and nothing else existed but himself when he determined to create the world. He thought of it, willed it, spoke the word, and so made it. It came into being instantaneously, just as he had willed, exactly as he had willed. It is enough then for us to be aware of a single fact. Nothing is co-eternal with God. Apart from God, there was simply nothing else. Yet, although he was alone, he was manifold, because he lacked neither reason, wisdom, power, nor counsel. All things were in him, and he himself was all. At a moment of his own choosing and in a manner determined by himself, God manifested his word, and through him he made the whole universe. When the word was hidden within God himself, he was invisible to the created world, but God made him visible. First, God gave utterance to his voice, engendering light from light. And then he sent his own mind into the world as its Lord. Visible before to God alone and not to the world, God made him visible so that the world could be saved by seeing him. This mind that entered our world was made known as the Son of God. All things came into being through him, but he alone is begotten of the Father. The Son gave us the law and the prophets, and he filled the prophets with the Holy Spirit to compel them to speak out. Inspired by the Father's power, they were to proclaim the Father's purpose and his will. So the Word was made manifest, as St. John declares, when summing up all the sayings of the prophets. He announced that this is the Word through whom the universe was made. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things came into being. Not one thing was created without him. And further on he adds, the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He entered his own creation, and his own did not receive him. Responsory prayer, a little child is born to us, and he shall be called the Mighty God. He himself will sit upon the throne of David his father to rule. The authority of David rests on his shoulders. To him, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He himself will sit upon the throne of David his father to rule. The authority of David rests on his shoulders. Doesn't that just feel good to proclaim those words of God as we approach the Christmas feast? Father, we contemplate the birth of your Son. He was born of the Virgin Mary and came to live among us. May we receive forgiveness and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. And another prayer is perhaps often there in the book or in the iBreviary. We'll talk more about iBreviary next time. So as you can see, I don't really even need to draw people's attention to anything. That in itself is a remarkable catechesis and a remarkable opportunity for prayer. But I do want to share just very briefly with you one catechism paragraph, maybe one, maybe two. So this is CCC 313. We know that in everything God works for good, for those who love him. The constant witness of the saints confirms this truth. St. Catherine of Siena said to those who are scandalized and rebel against what happens to them, everything comes from love. All is ordained for the salvation of man. God does nothing without this goal in mind. St. Thomas More, shortly before his martyrdom, consoled his daughter. Nothing can come but that which God wills. And I will make very sure that whatever that be, seem it very bad in sight, it shall indeed be the best. Dame Julian of Norwich, here I was taught by the grace of God that I should steadfastly keep me in the faith, ellipses, and that at the same time I should take my stand on and earnestly believe in what our Lord showed at this time, that all manner of things shall be well. So you see why the Catechism is actually such a good resource here. And I just want to share the Christmas mystery paragraph in 525 and 526. Jesus was born in a humble stable, into a poor family. Simple shepherds were the first witnesses to this event. In his poverty, heaven's glory was made manifest. The church never tires of singing the glory of this night. And then it has a prayer from the liturgy of a specific rite. The Virgin today brings into the world the eternal, and the earth offers a cave to the inaccessible. The angels and shepherds praise him, and the Magi advance with the star. For you are born for us, little child, God eternal. To become a child in relation to God is the condition for entering the kingdom of heaven. For this, we must humble ourselves and become little. Even more, to become children of God, we must be born from above, or born of God. Only when Christ is formed in us will the mystery of Christmas be fulfilled in us. Christmas is the mystery of this marvelous exchange. O marvelous exchange! Man's creator has become man, born of the Virgin. We have been made sharers in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share our humanity. A quote from the Liturgy of the Hours Antiphon, actually. So that's quite enough for today. I hope that you have a beautiful day preparing for the coming of the Lord into your heart. And I pray that everything goes well with your Christmas preparations, too.